Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. My name's Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here. And Thanksgiving kind of does something to me. I don't know if it does the same for you, but Thanksgiving, like, I wake up differently on Thanksgiving. That, like, you wake up and kind of, once the fog kind of clears and you realize you actually have to get out of the bed where it's actually warm into the cold of the room, right? Like, once I realize it's Thanksgiving and I start reflecting on so many of the things that I'm thankful for. And this morning, as I was doing that, as I was reflecting on all of the things that I'm thankful for, one of the big things that came to my mind was this community, was this church. And I started reflecting that this is my third Thanksgiving here at Fairhaven. And I started thinking about how the gratitude I have for you, for this community, for this church, it feels like that's just grown over those years. And so on Thanksgiving morning, I know in a little while we're going to pass microphones and talk about what we're thankful for, but I just wanted to go first and say one of the things that I'm thankful for this morning is you. So thank you for who you are, for this community, and for believing in and giving yourselves to the mission that God has called us to together to help people find their way back to Him. And thank you for all of the stories I've heard come out of this community of us actually living into that, stories of that happening. I'm incredibly grateful for you, for this place. And in just a few moments, Greg's going to come up and share with us this morning. Pastor Greg's going to come up and share. But before he does, I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to a passage we're going to look at this morning. So whether it's a Bible, a phone, a device, or you can just listen along, we're going to be in the book of John. So it's in the New Testament. So it's near the right side of your Bible. The book of John, if you're in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1671. We'll be in John 12, and we'll read verses 20 to 26. John 12, 20 to 26. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me."
Jeremy. The difference between Jeremy and I am this morning is not far off. When I think about what I'm grateful for, it is so many different things, and you are certainly among it. I would say one thing is different, Jeremy, and maybe when you hit 50, this is going to happen to you too, but I was up at 4:45 this morning, and there's no going back to sleep. I was amped up and ready to go, and I look forward to this service. Some of you know this already, but I grew up in this church, and for me, church was not something I'd like to go to except on Thanksgiving. So like on Sunday morning, a lot of us, when we got out of church at Fairhaven, we used to run to our car. And I think back on that now, it's like, because church is done, man, I am sprinting to the car. We got to get out of here at this point. But Thanksgiving was a service I always liked to come to. It was a time that we could gather together like this and to be together with family. And we listened to people sharing stories of gratitude. And I want to think about that just briefly with you this morning. To think about being people who give thanks in circumstances, not because of circumstances. That we give thanks in circumstances, not because of circumstances. And there's a verse that Jeremy just read, and it's chapter 12, verse 25, that says these words, that anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life will keep it for eternal life. Like, there are a lot of lives in that. In fact, there are three times that we see this word life show up. Life, life, life. Love it, lose it, hate it, keep it. Life, life, life. But there's actually only in the English one word, and we see it three times. In the Greek, we see two different words when we read this passage. And it says, anyone who loves their psuche, it looks like psyche, anyone who loves their psyche, their psuche, will lose it, while anyone who hates their psyche in this world will keep it for eternal Zoe. Two different words here. So something's going on. If you love your psyche, you're going to lose it. And if you're willing to let go of your psyche, you will gain a Zoe. You'll gain something else here. And the word psyche or psuche, it actually means this, that you're caught in time and space. It's a full of ups and downs. It's based on circumstances. That sort of life has these ups and downs. It's just rocking all the time, depending what's coming your way. It's based in time. So the morning could be good, the afternoon bad, the evening good again. And it's all about being caught here in space and time. While Jesus was offering something else, saying, I want to invite you in to a different way of living, this Zoe life, which is this. Zoe exists outside of time and space, is the fullness of the real and the genuine. It is based on everything that it has ever been and always will be. Like your life gets locked into something. Your Zoe gets locked into something, or rather someone, that will keep you no matter what the storm is on the outside. Think about two different people that are making these social posts for the day. And you've got, just for fun, we'll call it Susan Psyche, and we have Zelda Zoe that are making posts. And Susan Psyche starts to make a post in the morning because she is so frustrated because her flat iron, it broke. And now her hair is just not looking good. It's a bad hair day. Worst day ever, my flat iron broke. And the post goes out. A little bit later in the morning, about 10 o'clock, you see another post from her. She says, best day ever. My boyfriend just called. He wants to take me out for lunch. After lunch, about 1 o'clock, you see a post from her. Worst day ever. He broke up with me. It's like, woof. This thing is going up and down and up and down. It's based in time. It's based in the circumstances. Her life is getting rocked. Her psyche life is driving her psycho up and down. And if you want to hold on to that life, you're going to lose it. You'll lose it. Yeah. Yeah, we felt that. You got Zelda Zoe over here making a post saying, man, Mom passed away this morning. So, so grateful. So grateful for the way that she invested in me over the years. And I thank God for the decades that I had a mother who loved me the way she did. Circumstance not rocking her. Paul wrote these words to the church in Thessalonica about a Zoe kind of living, and he said, we are to rejoice always, always. No matter what's going on in this world, we are to rejoice always. We are to pray continually. And those sort of prayers ought to have in them, no matter what the storm is, that there is this opportunity to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. This is what God longs for you. This is what Jesus was saying. If you want to hold on to a life that is based on this happiness, I can be happy at 8 o'clock in the morning, sad at 10, happy at 1, sad at again 3. This kind of life is not the way you were meant to live. I have something more to offer you. I have a way of living that is hid in me, that is not based placed in time and space, but it holds you from here to all eternity. That if you walk with me, no matter what the storm is, you'll still have reason to give thanks. To find your life gets hid in me, no matter what the storm brings. In all circumstances, he said. And I have a question around that. All circumstances? All? And I want to tell you a story. Like all circumstances, even Hoima. Even Hoima? And you wonder, like, where is Hoima? Hoima is on the other side of the world. And I woke up not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, super early in the morning because it was time to get ready. We were going to an introduction on the other side of Uganda. We left the house at 7 o'clock in the morning and we knew this ride was somewhere between 3.5 and 4 hours. We packed 8 of us in a small vehicle. Not fun. So we are shoulder to shoulder and actually twisted sideways. We were in a vehicle that I wouldn't take down American roads, but we were taking them down Ugandan roads. And if any of you have ever been four-wheeling before, I don't think you have four-wheeled on this kind of stuff unless you have wheels that do their own thing. You have a different kind of differential. And we're taking a kind of really old rickety vehicle down this thing. As I got into the vehicle, I noticed it has 4 different wheels, 4 different ones. I looked and went, these tires are not the same. One of them was low. We got in, it's got a cracked windshield. The air conditioner, not operable on it. We could get most of the windows down. It was dirty because they kept the windows down. We're riding down clay roads that are rickety and beat up. And you could hear the suspension in this thing creaking as we're driving down the road. 3.5 hours later, we arrive in Hoima. And what we did at Hoima is this thing called an introduction, and it was a riot. I'd never been to an introduction, though I've been to Uganda many times. And the introduction is this, and it goes way back when they had arranged marriages. And I know there's a bunch of parents here, we would still like to do that, right? We can pick better people for our children than they can pick for themselves, at least we think we can. And so we went to an introduction where it literally used to be an introduction for a marriage. And the man would not actually have ever seen the woman, and she would just show up. And so at this introduction, we had to put on the traditional wear of the Mpindi clan that I was a part of while I was there. And this is what we looked like. And so I put this on. Handsome devil, right? You like that? And so I wore that, and then eventually we did some dancing, and this is me getting my moves on right here. I know, I got moves. I sent this picture to my daughter, and she's like, Dad, you got a dress on, for real. Like, yeah, I know, I got one on. Actually, I brought it with, in case any of you really want to impress your wife and put it on and take a picture with this thing here. So I would be happy to let you try it on. But here's the deal on this. If you try this on with a T-shirt, because I did, it made sense to me to leave a T-shirt on. They said, oh, no, we do not wear T-shirts under these. I'm like, are you kidding me? And these things are kind of see-through. And I'm a little bit hairy. And so I'm like, this is not cool. It's got one button, and this thing opens up. And I had like a fur patch sticking out the front of it, you know, part of the time. Whatever, I guess we're in Uganda, let's rock it out. And so I didn't want to go down alone though, so Pastor Wally, he wore one as well. So we were just dressed up, and at one point in this introduction, they're bringing out these waves of women. So think back, now the guy that was getting married actually knew the woman that he was going to marry, because it's not so much arranged marriages anymore, but they would bring out waves of women. Sort of this role playing, having fun. They'd bring out 5 women that would do this dance for us, and We would watch them dance, and you wonder, which one is she? And she's not in the first five. The second five come out, and they dance. And then the third five come out, and they dance. Well, this third five that came out and danced had this other plan. They're going to come, and they're actually going to grab some of the guys from our clan to bring them out on the dance floor with them. And so these women come, and they're coming to pick men out, and they're grabbing men out of the group. And I look, and I go, this woman has got a beat on me. This is a bad idea. Because I really can't dance that well. And I'm like, and she's coming right at me and smiling. And Wally was sitting next to me. When she was about 4 feet away, I went like this. And Wally's like, ugh. She took him out there. So he's out dancing in his dress with her out there, having fun. And when they got done dancing, he sat back down. He goes, I don't know what just happened. And I watched him texting his wife with WhatsApp and said, I don't know what just happened, but I think I may have just got married. I'm not sure. I don't know. Now, and in the introduction, I mean, we're having a riot. We really are. The morning, not so great. The morning, if you go psyche on this thing, the morning, the ride in, ugh, terrible. I was all cramped up, and then we got out, and we got our clothes on, and we had some fun, and we had food, we had laughter, we did dancing, and then we had a moment where you have to do the dowry. And so they said, what gifts have you brought in order to receive this bride? And so we all went, all of the men that are part of the clan I was in that day, we all went out to the vehicles, and we got 5 cows, brought those in, 10 goats, brought those in. Wally and I carried in 15 chickens. We brought 15 chickens in, water and rice. We carried a couch in. And I looked at Wally, I go, did you think we'd be doing this? And he said, what else would we be doing on Thursday than this? This is fantastic. And so we're bringing all these gifts in. We are having a riot, absolute riot. There's a moment when the groom, finally that fifth group of women came out of five, and there she is. Consulate is her name, and she's dancing, and she's looking at her groom. And then she sat down on, quote unquote, her throne, and he made his way to her. And here's a picture of Ronald as he is approaching his bride-to-be. And he got down on one knee before her, and he said through a microphone, Consulate, you are my smile. And all the women are like, oh. And all the guys are like, you dog, man, you're making it so hard on us. You got it, you know. And so it was just this beautiful moment. And then literally, like 7 hours later of this, just celebrating and having fun and having a riot together. And 7 hours later, we're looking and saying, It's time to go. And we wanted to get on the road because we didn't want to drive too late into the evening. We knew we were going to get home probably around 10 o'clock. And I'm starting to prep myself going, "Ooh, this has been like best day ever. And it's time to get in that vehicle again and cram ourselves in again. And I'm in a middle seat again. And we are stacked with 8 of us. And we get in the vehicle and the tire's low and we need to find air. And we're driving down the road, and we pull into the first gas station. They don't have an air machine. We pull into another gas station. The guy says, no problem. Takes out some tape, and he's starting to put the air machine together. I got this. It doesn't work. And so we pull into another gas station. And when we pull into that gas station, they have air, and they fill it up with air. And then we try to start the vehicle. The battery's dead. And we're like, are you kidding me? And then we start down the road, and the temperature started to drop. And I know it doesn't seem like in Africa the temperature does that, but we were in the rainy season, and we were wet. And so we got 8 people, warm people, packed in with moisture on us. And the inside starts to fog up. But remember, the fan doesn't work. No fan. So we don't have any ability to dry the window off. And so we're running windshield wipers. And we're wiping on the inside. And the moisture is forming almost instantly on the windshield. And we can't see. Like, literally can't see out it when cars come our direction. soon as the lights hit us, we had to stop, and our speed was somewhere less than 30 miles an hour for the entire trip back. A 3.5 hour trip one direction took us 5 hours to get the other direction. And by the time we got there, we had prayed 3 separate times in the vehicle corporately together for our safety, because it really was unsafe. It really was. And we could not see. There are pedestrians on the side of the road. It's late at night. These roads are not safe to be on in the first place when there's light. And there is no light except the headlights that are super dim because they're old and oxidized and we're not seeing well. And we prayed and prayed. And I went into another level praying even as I sat there, because I had a seat. I could see out the windshield, and I couldn't see out the windshield for most of the trip. I thought, how are we staying on the road? We finally arrived. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And we arrive at the house, and sitting in this vehicle again is a bunch of people that are kind of stuck together and we're uncomfortable. And Wally and I, all we want to do is get out of this vehicle and just stretch out. And Meshach, that's his name, and how they say it, it's Meshach, how we would say it, is sitting behind, and he breaks into a song and starts singing. And he sings about how good God is. And it's a song we don't sing in our country, but all the van began to join in together as they sang about how good and faithful God is. And then they burst forth into prayer inside of this vehicle. Nobody's moved. The vehicle's off. We're sitting in the driveway. And they just started giving thanks. We have asked you, God, to protect us, and you've been watching over us. You are so faithful to us. Thank you for seeing us through. We celebrate you. We praise you. And when we got out of the vehicle, we were met by people that were still awake because they were inside of the house praying us through that. And they came out, and we got on the front lawn, and they began to sing with us, "Great is your faithfulness, O God our Father. Morning by morning, new mercies we see." And then we broke into prayer again. And I went, who are these people? They're us. They're experiencing a Zoe life that they're saying, yeah, in the midst of this thing that Americans, we would have pulled the vehicle over the side and called in something else. That they didn't have something else. And I sometimes wonder when I think about the statement that Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What if you would have left off the spirit side of it? Is there something about blessed are you when you don't have and you are dependent? Blessed are you when at least you acknowledge that and recognize that we're in a position where everything we have, we're dependent on God. And when we depend that much and you stop and realize we made it, we actually made it. We are so grateful that you have seen us through. Jesus then invites us in and says, you can live a life that's dependent on the circumstances and think, worst drive ever. Or is it the best drive ever? Best drive ever. It was painful. Not comfortable. It was exhausting to think about trying to get through it. And in the midst of the hardest drive I can remember in my life, the one I prayed the most on, we stepped out with the most gratitude. You are so good. It reminded me, as I laid in bed that night, just thinking for a minute of things in my life that were hard. I was only 40 years old when my mom passed away. And there's two ways to look at that. Too young to be without a mom already. And I thought, and yet, 40 years of an amazing mom. Not everybody can say that. I'm grateful. Another decade with my dad. Remember looking at my brother Todd and standing at the graveside and recognizing we're the oldest two now. And we're only in our early 50s. And there's nobody else above us in our family. It's us now. And one way to look at that, it would be too young, worst day ever, or to say, man, I'm so blessed to have all of this. this legacy of a mom and a dad who loved Christ and raised us up to love Christ as well. And there's one story after another I could tell, you can tell, and we are going to tell in just a minute. Where Jesus says, if you try to keep a life that's only about your circumstances, you're going to lose it. You will lose it. Psyche, you'll go psycho on that. But if you will hide yourself in me and acknowledge me and declare great is your faithfulness, you will experience a life that is so hidden in me, it'll go past the grave itself. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we love you. And we're grateful today that you invite us who live in this world who have challenges to so hide ourselves in you, the one that can bring a challenge to every challenge that challenges us, that we might experience life that is deep and rich and real and not based on circumstances, but based solely on a relationship with you, where you can declare, you don't have to worry. And I will keep your heart, and I will keep your mind in me. We pray this in your name. Amen.